Dirk burst into the flat like a small, podgy tornado. "Miss Way," he said, grasping her slightly unwilling hand and doffing his absurd hat, "it is the most inexpressible pleasure to meet you, but also the matter of the deepest regret that the occasion of our meeting should be one of such great sorrow, and one which bids me to extend to you my most profound sympathy and commiseration. I ask you to believe me that I would not intrude upon your private grief for all the world if it were not on a matter of the gravest moment and magnitude. Richard, I have solved the problem of the conjuring trick, and it's extraordinary." He swept through the room and deposited himself on a spare chair at the small dining table, on which he put his hat. "You will have to excuse us, Dirk," said Richard coldly. "No, I am afraid you will have to excuse me," returned Dirk. "The puzzle is solved, and the solution is so astounding that it took a 7-year-old child on the street to give it to me. But it is undoubtedly the correct one, absolutely undoubtedly. What, then, is the solution, you ask me, or rather would ask me if you could get a word in edgeways, which you can't, so I'll save you the bother and ask the question for you, and answer it as well by saying that I will not tell you, because you won't believe me. I shall instead show you this very afternoon. Rest assured, however, that it explains everything. It explains the trick, it explains the note you found, that should have made it perfectly clear to me, but I was a fool, and it explains what the missing third question was, or rather, and this is the significant point, it explains what the missing first question was." "What missing question?" exclaimed Richard, confused by the sudden pause, and leaping in with the first phrase he could grab. Dirk blinked as if at an idiot. "The missing question that George III asked, of course," he said. "Asked who?" "Well, the professor," said Dirk impatiently. "Don't you listen to anything you say? The whole thing was obvious," he exclaimed, thumping the table. "So obvious that the only thing which prevented me from seeing the solution was the trifling fact that it was completely impossible. Sherlock Holmes observed that once you have eliminated the impossible, then whatever remains, however improbable, must be the answer. I, however, do not like to eliminate the impossible. Now, let us go." "No." "What?" Dirk glanced up at Susan, from whom this unexpected, or at least unexpected to him, opposition had come. "Mr. Gently," said Susan, in a voice you could not just stick with, "why did you deliberately mislead Richard into thinking he was wanted by the police?" Dirk frowned. "But he was wanted by the police," he said, "and still is." "Yes, but just to answer questions, not because he's a suspected murderer." Dirk looked down. "Miss Way," he said, "the police are interested in knowing who murdered your brother. I, with the very greatest respect, am not. It may, I concede, turn out to have a bearing on the case, but it may just as likely turn out to be a casual madman. I wanted to know, still need desperately to know, why Richard climbed into this flat last night."
"I told you," protested Richard.
"What you told me is immaterial. It only reveals the crucial fact that you do not know the reason yourself. For heaven's sake, I thought I'd demonstrated that to you clearly enough at the canal." Richard simmered. "It was perfectly clear to me watching you," pursued Dirk, "that you had very little idea what you were doing and had absolutely no concern about the physical danger you were in. At first I thought, watching, that it was just a brainless thug out on his first and quite possibly last burgle. But then the figure looked back and I realised it was you, and I know you to be an intelligent, rational and moderate man. Richard Macduff, risking his neck, carelessly climbing up drainpipes at night, it seemed to me that you would only behave in such a reckless and extreme way if you were desperately worried about something of terrible importance. Is that not true, Miss Way?" He looked sharply up at Susan, who slowly sat down, looking at him with an alarm in her eyes which said that he had struck home. "And yet, when you came to see me this morning, you seemed perfectly calm and collected. You argued with me perfectly rationally when I talked a lot of nonsense about Schrödinger's cat. This was not the behaviour of someone who had the previous night been driven to extremes by some desperate purpose. I confess that it was at that moment that I stooped to, well, exaggerating your predicament, simply in order to keep hold of you. You didn't. I left. With certain ideas in your head, I knew you would be back. I apologise most humbly for having misled you, somewhat, but I knew that what I had to find out lay far beyond what the police would concern themselves with. And it was this. If you were not quite yourself when you climbed the wall last night, then who were you and why?"